Begin the current daf. Masechtas Brachas daf Mem Dal. Begin on Amud Aleph. Begin with Teishas Divrei Maaschot. His begins with the words of the Gemara. But Eichli Peris Genus Hashana. What we're talking about is when they ate the fruits of the Kinneret. That's what we're talking about. Which Teishas comes to explain. But why wasn't it that the salty thing and the bread should have both been exempted with the bracha on the pears of Genusar, because really they're secondary to it. And that is because the Gemara is coming to explain the halacha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if they burn in front of someone a salty thing, and that was the primary thing that he's coming to eat, and with that they brought him a piece of bread, you're actually not going to make a bracha on the bread, you can make a bracha on the salty thing, and that's going to exempt the bread, because the bread is secondary to the salty thing. It's just that, you know, the salty thing needs something going with it, so you have the bread with it. And that the Gemara asks, is there such a thing that the salty thing is primary and the bread is secondary? So on that, Rav Acha, Breda Rav Vira, and Rav Avasha, yeah, you could have that when you eat the fruits of Genusa. What does that mean? So Teisa explains, Shamaliach Iker, that the salty thing is going to be primary. How so? Shehubo lahashav halev, because the salty thing is coming to restore the heart. Shenechlesh b'pnei metikus ha-peiris, because the heart got weakened because of the sweetness of the fruits, as the Gemara brought stories where some Amarom became delirious from the fruits. So you need the salty thing to bring yourself back, as people take salty things sometimes, intoxicated. So therefore the fruits did that to a person. So then you have the salty thing to counteract the effects of the sweetness of the fruits. Now, v'hapas shalachar of tuffel. Now, the third thing coming along, the bread that comes after the salty thing, is secondary to the salty thing, because v'ein nebo ele b'shvil hamalich, it's only coming because of the salty thing. So that's where you could have a situation where really, yeah, the primary thing is coming for the salty thing, and the bread is only coming to assist the salty thing, because the salt is coming because of the peiris genuser, that then you need a salty thing, and not really the bread. But then Taisus says, from time in the beginning to say, Taisus asks us to take a second look. Because if it's just the way we described it, that the salty thing is only coming to restore one's heart because it got weakened from the sweetness of the fruits, so it actually comes out that peiris have ikar. So that means to say that the fruits of the canary, that's the primary. And therefore, maliach tafel, that means to say the salty thing is only coming secondary to the fruits. And therefore, v'liver chala peiris. So the bracha should only be on the fruits of the genisa. V'lifter kulu, and then all the things, the salty thing and the bread, should both be exempted. So then we're back to the question, where do you ever find the case that the salty thing is primary? You're making a bracha on that salty thing and exempting bread. You're not making a bracha on the salty thing. It's not the primary. It is primary to the bread, but it itself is secondary to the peiris genusa. You're not even making a bracha on the salty thing. So says Taisa Bishlim, what you could say is, demayri shalai ochala peiris b'oise mamet. You didn't eat the fruits in that station when you're coming to eat the salty thing and the bread. Since you changed your place from when you ate the peiris genuser, so then, since you changed your place, you have to make a new bracha. And now when you have the salty thing in the bread, now the primary thing when you're coming to eat is the salty thing, because really you just want to counteract the effects of the sweetness of the fruits. And therefore, you can make a bracha on the salty thing and not on the bread, because the bread is secondary to the salty thing. Or inami, another approach to this, what you could say is, that b'shoah sha'ochel peiris genuser, when the person ate the fruits of the genuser, lahoyah shamadayin maliach hapas, he didn't have over there bread and the salty thing. In other words, his intention wasn't when he ate the fruits that he's going to have and be exempting the salt and the bread, because the lahoyah day, he didn't know the effects. Sheyech shos liba machmas amatikas, that his heart is going to become weakened because of the sweetness, and that he's going to have bread and the salty thing to restore his heart. So he never had that intention. Afterwards, he felt the side effects of the peiris genuser. Then he quickly went to grab salt, and he can't have just a salty thing. He needed bread with it. That's where the salty thing is going to be the primary, and the bread's going to be secondary. Because in general, of course, if you're having a salty thing and bread is primary. Here, where you really just need it for the salty thing, and the bread's secondary because of the peiris genuser, that's where we're going to be making the bracha on the salty thing and exempting the bread. Continuing the next taste of Rimaskel, taste begins with the words of the Gemara, Mevorach al Hamaliach. You make a bracha on the salty thing, which Taisa is going to explain actually what is our Mishnah coming to tell us. That is, the Mishnah had said that if you bring in front of someone a salty thing, and that's the primary thing, and the bread's coming with it, you make a bracha on the salty thing and you exempt the bread, and because the bread is secondary, like the Mishnah says, the rule is, whatever is primary and with it something secondary, you make a bracha on the ikra and you exempt the tafel. So says Taisa, now va'avagav dashmi'inan, although we already said this halacha in the previous daf mem bezim and alf in the Mishnah, that said, what's primary is going to exempt the secondary, because the Mishnah says clearly, the pas paites apaperes, bread exempts the appetizer. Why? Because the appetizer is secondary to the bread. We already know the halach of ikar and tafel. What's our Mishnah come to tell us? It says Taisus, itzuch lashmina. What our Mishnah had to tell us was because de pa'amim de pas tafel. We had to tell you that at times, and that's even the Gemara's question, we had to tell you that sometimes bread is going to be the secondary, and not to say that bread is always the primary, and not the secondary. Yeah, we know Ikra and Tavel, but we wouldn't know that, let's say, you could have bread being the Tavel. That's what we needed from the halacha of our Mishnah. Now, we continue with the next Taisa ibn Askel. Taisa begins with the words of the Mishnah, Rabbi Kiva. I mean, he says, no, afala achol shelek. Even someone eats cooked vegetables, v'hu mezayin, and that's his stasis, chulu, etc., which Taisa has come to explain that this halacha of Rabbi Kiva, that you can make birchas amazna, cooked vegetables, was specifically if you're kaveh or suda, if you're making your meal out of the cooked vegetables. Because as we learned in the Mishnah, as Taisa is quoting, Rabbi Kiva says, even the cooked vegetables, that you can make a birchas amazna. Not like the other opinions that... What do you make on these food items? He said, it doesn't make a difference. You can even have vegetables, and you'll make a birchas amazon. But says Taisa, Taisa is bothered by a question. So the lay dummy lahi delel. This is not the same thing as we brought in the previous daf of Laman Zayin Medal, where we had a story during Leil, Nosin Rishos Rabbi Kiva Lavarach, Bechul Rabbi Kiva, Gamliel gave permission to Rabbi Kiva to make a bracha, where all the elders and the Rabbi Gamliel, they were all sitting in the upper story in Ericha, and they had a date, and they ate it. Gamliel gave permission to Rabbi Kiva to make the bracha, and what the bracha achrayna. And what happened was, Rabbi Kiva jumped quickly because there was a dispute between Gamliel and the Chacham, and he made what's called a bracha achas me'ein shalish. He made ala eitz. Now, how could he have made ala eitz? We're saying in our Mishnah that even cooked vegetables, which is a much lower grade of a type of a food item, Rabbi Kiva is saying that when you come to eat a meal, you're going to make birchas hamazon for sure on a date, which is one of the shivas aminim, for sure you should make a birchas hamazon. How could that story in Naflamat Zayin bin, Rabbi Kiva went and made a bracha achas me'ein shalish? Says Taisis Kedashani Hacha. Here in our Mishnah is different. The Ikva Mizoini Olay. We're talking about where the person made his meal out of the cooked vegetables. He's eating lunch, he's eating supper with the shlokas. That's where Rabbi Kiva holds. He's going to make a birchas amazon. Over there in that story, they were just eating a date as a snack. They weren't eating as a meal. And that's where Rabbi Kiva was going, like the Chacham, that you make a bracha achas mein shalish, an ala eitz, and you're not going to make a birchas amazon. Now, continue with the next words of the Taisa de Rimasal with the words of the Gemara, alo eitz val priyo eitz. Which Taisa says the general rules regarding this, what's called bracha achas mein shalich, which literally means say one blessing that's an abridgment of the three, which are the three biblical brachas of birchas amazon. The Gemara brought that there's a bracha mein shalich that you make after the shivas aminim and after the five types of grain. On produce, on the shivas aminim, you make alo eitz val priyo eitz, and also nevasasad, and so on types of grain. So then you make ala mechiv al kakala. So Taisa says that was two categories. Aval ala yain, but regarding wine, which wasn't mentioned in the Gemara, mevarchem ala gefen val priya gefen. You make a different bracha. You make on the grapevine and on the produce and the fruits of the grapevine. And Taisa says, because the kibin the yain kaveh bracha la'atzim and mishem chavivuse, since as our Gemara previously had established, that wine makes its own obligatory bracha, its own unique bracha, because it's very dear, it's a very precious type of a food item. So, since it has its own bracha rishayna, so hu adin l'achar, so too the bracha achrayna, the main shalish, is not going to be the generic alo eitz val pri eitz. It's going to have a special, unique wording of ala gefen val pri gefen. Now, ubechasima, regarding the conclusion of the bracha of al ha-gefen, yesh ha-chais min ala aretz val ha-peres, are those, when they conclude the al ha-gefen, after you drink a cup of wine, that you make the end the way you normally make regarding al ha-eitz, you make that Hashem is baruch at Hashem al ha-aretz on the land, val ha-peres, and on the fruits. But, says Taisa, but yesh ha-chais, those who conclude it, no. Al ha-gefen, val pri ha-gefen. Also, even the chasima of the bracha achrayin, the end of the al ha-gefen, also has to have a special wording, not just the generic al ha-aretz, val ha-peres, like the other shevet aminim, rather on the grapevine and on the fruits of the grapevine. But says Taisus Mil Chayr Mashma Weber, it would seem to be the Inatzarch Lashana Sachasim. No, you don't have to change the wording of even the conclusion to change it from the generic Ala Arts Val Peres to like those who want to say Ala Gefen Val Priya Gefen. He says, because Sharei Ain on the Mishan and Rak, the only thing we're changing is Loima Priya Gefen is to say, like the Bracha Rishayna, instead of saying Bayer Priya 8, you make a Bayer Priya Gefen, that you say, when you say the word Hashem, that you created the fruits of the grapevine, bim koin priya eitz, instead of the words that Hashem made the fruits of the tree. So in other words, wherever in ala eitz, in the me'ein shalish, you say ha eitz, by the other fruits, like in the beginning of the bracha of al ha eitz al priya eitz, you'll say, no, al gefen val priya gefen. Al biyama, but in general, regarding any other part of the bracha of the me'ein shalish, hecha delimer v'chin al eitz, if you don't say by regular of the shivas aminim, the words on the tree, rather, you just say in general that we thank Hashem for the land on its fruits. So, by yainami, in lashan, so to by one, you don't have to change it and say, end it, ala gefen, al priya gefen. No, you'll say the same, ala arads of ala pears. Now, a related halacha Tesis brings that a Sefer HaMaimoni, in the Sefer of the Maimoni, which refers to the Rambam, Moshe ben Maimon, Matzuch Lahaskar, but he required to make in the Me'ein Shalish, Me'ein HaMa'ira, what's related, what's from within the celebration of that significance of that day, which means B'Shabbos of Yom Tov, on Shabbos to say Ritzei in Al HaMechi in Alo Eitz and Al HaGefen, and so too on Yom Tov. Now, B'chem Ashma Yishalmi, and Tay says, so too it sounds like that's from the Yishalmi, but Ami Uloi Nago Eilim Kain, but Tay says the custom is not to do that. Says Tay Sabi Yachal Eitz, and the reason why that could be is because Mashem is Gir Mein Ma'ira, could be that, yeah, well, the Yerushalmi brings it, and therefore the Rambam is also saying this, that this that they used to mention, let's say, from whatever the day was of Yom Tov or Shabbos in their Me'ein Shalas, you could say Hanadav to be Me'ein. You could say that was specifically in their days, in Talmudic times. Shehoyu regin likvaya ayayin v'amin neperis, like you see from the Gemara, that their custom was to make an established meal on wine, just on wine, and there are different types of produce, and that's why it was like a significant type of a bracha, and therefore they would mention Shabbos and Yom Tov in that, because that was a kviz they would make. But says Taisa, but today the custom is not to make a meal sitting down to just wine or to just different types of fruits, and therefore it's not so significant to mention the Me'ein Ma'ira of Shabbos and Yom Tov in the bracha of what we call Al Michio, Al Eitz, or Al Gefen. Now Taisa continues, Upirish Rach, Rabbeinu Chananel explains that Eicha Da'achel Mina Mezainis, when someone eats these three different categories at the same time, meaning in the same sitting he's eating different types of grain, and, for example, kugan daisa, like porridge, where that bracha achrein is ala mechya. He also eats v'te'enim, he's also eating figs, which the bracha achrein is ala eitz v'alpri eitz. And v'shashi cham is drinking wine. Within the bracha achrein of the main shalash, these are all main shalash, but the different main shalashes, where there it's ala gef v'alpri agef. So what do you do if you ate all three? So on that says, Rabbeinu Chananel Mevarach, you make the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem. The blessed is you, Hashem, Elokein Melech Olam, our God, the King of the world. First you mentioned that of the grain. Then you continue. It's all in the same bracha. Regarding the grapevine and the fruits of the grapevine. And then you say the third one because of the figs that you ate. And on the tree and then the fruits of the tree. And the bounty of the field. Etc. Go through the whole bracha. You conclude on the land. And on the sustenance. And on the fruits. And says Taisus, that's not a problem about concluding a bracha with two different ideas, because you're saying both on the michya, on the sustenance, and on the peris, and generally you can't end with two ideas, because that's what's called making mitzvahs into bundles. You're supposed to do each mitzvah separately, as the Gemara says later on the Mem Tesim and Aleph, because here actually says Taisus is actually one conclusion, because it's actually just talking about the land. The ha'aretz, hi'amitziah, the land that we're thanking Hashem from, which is one idea, that's what brings forth ha'michya v'ha'peres, the sustenance and the produce, which the michya refers to the grain, and the peres refers to both that of the grapes, of the wine, and of the figs that he ate. So therefore, Taisus told us that after drinking wine, it has its own unique main shalosh, ha'al-gefen v'ha'peragefen, because we see that wine has its own bracha v'shayin, the sutta bracha achreinah. Now, regarding the conclusion of the ala gefen, Taisa Broda Machlekes, if you conclude as we're regarding all other peris, ala arts, bala peris, or a unique one of ala arts, val priya gefen. Taisa is inclined to say that you do it like the regular one of ala arts, val peris, because it's not like you're substituting gefen for eitz. Now, Taisa brought to the opinion of the Rambam that one has to mention Me'ena Ma'ira by the bracha main shalish, but he said today the custom is not like that because we don't usually make a kvius of a meal on wine or different types of fruits. And more of a Taisa said that if you had all three types, mezainis, peris, and yain, in one sitting, you include them all in one bracha mein shalosh, and you mention all three of them in that mein shalosh. Then the next Taisa, the Masal, Taisa begins with the words of the Gemara, inu mechel achli. What, they're eating it, vanama brachinan, and we're going to make the bracha? Taisa comes to explain, is it possible that the Amiram in Bavel would have been speaking to the students of Eretz Yisrael, and so to the opposite? That is, the Gemara brought a machleik is regarding how do you conclude the bracha mein shalosh. Rav Chizda said, who Rav Chizda was from Bavel, he said that the conclusion is ala arz v'al peres sehu. We thank Hashem for the land and its fruits. Rav Yechanan, who he was from Eretz Yisrael, he said your conclusion is ala arz v'al peres, not al peres sehu, rather on the land and on the fruits. So Rav Amram said that no, there's no machleik is Rav Yechanan and Rav Chizda at all, because Rav Chizda, who was from Bavel, he was talking to the people in Bavel, who they conclude ala arz v'al peres sehu. Rabbi Yechanan, who is from Eretz Yisrael, he said to the people of Eretz Yisrael, the conclusion is Allah Arz Vala Peres. On that, Rav Nachum Yitzchak asked him, how could you say that? To the contrary, Rav Chizda was from Bavel, how could he tell the people of Bavel to conclude Allah Arz Vala Peres Seha, which means of the fruits of the land of Eretz Yisrael, which that's the words of the Taisa Rav Maschil, but they're not eating those fruits. So why would they be making that bracha? So therefore, he says no. To the contrary, he says Rav Chisda, who is from Babel, he said the conclusion is al ortz al peiros. Rav Yechon, who is from Eretz Yisrael, he said the conclusion is al ortz al peiros sel, because those are the fruits they're eating. Now Taisa says mashmit sounds like from this Gemara she'ein nir lamakshin, that it did not appear to the questioner, meaning that of Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who was asking on this interpretation of Rav Amram, she yedaber hamiram the Babel, that it should be that the Amiram, that the teachers in Babel, would be speaking in their halacha b'shul b'nei Eretz Yisrael because of the people in Eretz Yisrael. Because if you would hold that would be the case, then the Gemara could have answered very simply. Rav Chisda, who said the conclusion as it was recorded, was al ortz val peiros seha, although he's in Babel, but he was speaking to the people of Eretz Yisrael, not the people of Babel. So you don't have to say, oh, that it has to be the opposite attribution of the opinions. Rav Chisda was saying to the people of Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yechon, who said, al ortz val peiros, and you don't have to say Rabbi Yechon was the one that said al ortz val peiros seha. You could say Rav Chisda was the one. Now, so, but it seems like from the fact that the Gemara did not say that, that it appears that no, that we don't say that. We say that if Amoyer from Babel was speaking, was to the people in Babel, and that of Eretz Yisrael to those of Eretz Yisrael. But Taisa asks, Kikach Pirish Rabbeinu Tam. But we find Rabbeinu Tam explained, Gabi, by the Gemara in Kedushin of Chavtesim and Beis, where we have a machlekes, we have a stira, a contradiction. On the one hand, we find that it says, Lo'ilim Yisi Isha Va'achkach Yil Matar. A person should always first get married and then learn Torah. But V'tanach Ritu, in another brace, it says, no, Yil Matar Va'achkach Yisi Isha, first learn Torah and then get married. Masaka, the Gemara concludes, it's not a contradiction. Halan v'halahu. That's for us, and that's for them. Well, Pirush Rabbeinu Tam, he explains, the Rabbi Yechanan, that he said that how could a person have the yoke of a livelihood and learn Torah at the same time? No, rather, Rabbi Yechanan was the one who said that you should first learn Torah and then marry a woman. Although he was in Eretz Yisrael, he was talking for his students, that they were from Bavel, that they couldn't leave their house and go learn Torah. Moreover, they were poor and they needed to provide for their household. So how could they learn Torah and marry a woman? So one thing we see is from the fact that Rabbeinu Tam says Rabbi Yechon was from Eretz Yisrael, was speaking to his students in Bavel. So then we're back to the question. So why couldn't we just say Rav Chisda was from Bavel? He was speaking to his students who were from Eretz Yisrael. And yet he was telling them that when you eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, you have to say Al-Perisel. Why did the questioner have to switch it around and say that no, Rav Chisda was the one that said Al-Peris? Why couldn't he be the one to say Al-Perisel? Like you see from Rabbeinu Tam in the Gemara Kedushin, that you find that Rabbi Yechanan, who was married to Saul, was speaking to his students and telling them the halacha that applies to the people in Babel. Says Taisa, because the Shema may be hacha kimle lamakshin, that you're right, that's something that is a possibility, but here the questioner, that is Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he knew that the Ba'isa Shah at that moment, when these teachings were said, Sha'am Rav Chisda HaMilsu, when Rav Chisda said his teaching, lahoye lefanav shum tamim Eretz Yisrael, he didn't have any student from Eretz Yisrael in front of him. And v'chein also, that lo yishum tamim b'bavel lefnei Rabbi Yechanan, that there was no student of Bavel in front of Rabbi Yechanan. And therefore, v'mkein, if that's the case, lahoye maskar Rav Chisda, shahoye m'bavel, Rav Chisda, who was from Bavel, would not have mentioned, when he's giving a teaching, kiyim lebnei Bavel. Obviously, he's then referring to only to the people of Bavel, because he wouldn't be giving a teaching that applies to those in a different location, not of Eretz Yisrael. And that's why he was asking, how could it be that the people of Babel will make the bracha that we thank Hashem for giving us the land of Israel and its fruit, because that sounds like that specifically is referring to the fruits of Eretz Yisrael. And that was the Gemara's question, which our Taisa Divrei Maaseh was going on, and they're not eating it. And therefore, you have to say that it's the opposite. Rav Chisda was the one who said, Allah Tzva Peres, and Rabbi Yechon was saying the one Allah Tzva Peres says. Although, yes, at times it could be that they were speaking to the other ones, as we find Rabbi Tam says in Kedushin, that's only when you know here he knew that it wasn't like that, and therefore must have been for their location, and therefore it doesn't make sense, he said, to say that Rav Chisda was the one who said, Al Peres Seha, rather he's the one that said, Al Peres. Now, continue Tamad Beis, given the taste of the Rimaschal that says, Avdina, Avidna Kukula, that he would do like all of the opinions. Shesh comes to explain that our custom is like this, to make the bracha of Bar Nefashas even after vegetables and even after water, which the Gemara brought a machlekes regarding what type of things do you make of Bar Nefashas afterwards. So the first opinion says that only things like eggs and meat, where bracha Rishayin is Shehakel, then you make a Bar Nefashas. But like vegetables, then you don't make a bracha afterwards, not so significant to make a Bar Nefashas. Your Bishlik says, no, even on vegetables, but not on water. A Papa said, no, even on water you make afterwards to burn the fashas. And Ravashi said, which I'll tell you the mouse is going on, that whenever he would remember, he would do like all the opinions, meaning to make a bracha of burn the fashas, even after vegetables and water. And that says, Taisa v'chein on the noikin kravashi, and that's our custom of kravashi, to remember chin and basa, maya, basa, yarka, that even after vegetables and after water, we make a burn the fashas. Rabbis, thank Hashem, they created all souls and what they're lacking, and or even what they're not lacking, to give us, and that's even after water. Now, continuing the next taste of Maschot, this begins with the words of the Gemara, L'bnei Marava, and to the people from the West, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, D'mavarchin hachi basar b'chulu, that they make a bracha after their mitzvahs, etc., where taste comes to explain three ideas. First of all, that even the people in Eretz Yisrael, they wouldn't make a bracha after they finished doing a mitzvah, only when they would take off their tefillin, not when they, let's say, took off their tzitzis. Second of all, is that they would make the bracha specifically them, because they would take off the tefillin by sundown. And also that we actually don't rule like the B'nai Marava, which the Gemara brought a Mishnah needed of Nanath and Beis in its discussion, that whatever needs a bracha after it needs a bracha beforehand. But there are certain things that need a bracha beforehand and not a bracha afterwards, which all those Mishnahs are talking about, things that one requires both and one doesn't require both. So the Gemara says, so this, that it said in the Mishnah, that there are things that need a bracha beforehand and not afterwards, contra papa, that he holds that everything you eat, even water, needs a bracha afterwards. So what's the coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude a bracha on mitzvahs, where before we do a mitzvah, we make a bracha on it, but we don't make a bracha after we're done with a mitzvah. But that says the Gemara, but according to the B'nai Marava, that they make a bracha, even after when they take off the tefillin from their head. And the reason for that is because there's a mitzvah to remove the tefillin before nighttime. So if that's the case, so then what's the case of the Mishnah that says that you require a bracha before and not afterwards, not talking about mitzvahs, because even mitzvahs, even afterwards, you make a bracha. And that's the Gemara, for them, it's coming to exclude when you make a bracha on besamim, where then you only make a bracha before and not a bracha afterwards. Now, but one thing says Taisis, we don't do like the people from Eretz Yisrael to make a bracha after we remove our tefillin. The reason for that is because the dafkele to do it specifically was for them. Their custom was to remove the tefillin when it became nighttime. Shaicha bracha delish mechukav. So there it applies the bracha that they would make that to safeguard God's statutes. Because that's what a pasuk says. It says v'shemarta sachukah zayis, you should safeguard this statute l'mayada for its time, yom v'gaimer for its days. Which Gemara Menachas Daf Lamed Vav Mabeis tells us that if someone puts on tefillin after shkiyas acham, after sundown, he violated this positive commandment where it says v'shemarta sachukah zayis l'mayada miyam yamima, mean from day to day, which tells us, yeah, because daytime he's wearing the tefillin and not at nighttime. So when it says he's shamer by a positive commandment, that gives it the halacha like a positive commandment. So there is a real mitzvah over here, which when you're taking it off, you're fulfilling the mitzvah, not wearing it at nighttime. That's why they would make a bracha when they took off the tefillin. Aval anu, but us, says Taisis, Shemesalka, and Oysa Mechatz Hayem, we take off our tefillin halfway through the day, we don't wear it to the nighttime. Now, Oy, or even Afila, says Taisis, even if Nesalka Malayla, even if we would take off our tefillin at nighttime, Loy Shai Chuka, no, if we take off during the daytime, for sure not, because there's no mitzvah taking it off now. But Taisis says, actually, even if we would take it off at nighttime, we still wouldn't be like the B'nai Rav, we still wouldn't make this mitzvah of the bracha of Chuka. Why? Taisa explained, because Vedavka Liditu, specifically for them, Diksavi, because their halachic opinion was that Laila loves man tefillin, who the nighttime is not a time of wearing tefillin, and Umiyam Yamima, from the puzzle we brought before, from day to day, that's referring to the chuk of wearing tefillin, Aslam Uti Laylis, that was coming to good in night times. Shashaycha bracha, the chukah, so it obviously applies the bracha of fulfilling God's statutes by not wearing it at nighttime. So what, that's the bracha you make when you take it off right before it gets dark. But us, the Kaimalan, that we actually ruled Delilah's man tefillin, who we ruled at nighttime is a time for tefillin. And therefore, Vanam Mesimin HaPasik, we actually translate the Pasik, B'Shamarta, Chukah, B'Goyim, etc. It's actually referring to something else, not regarding not wearing tefillin at nighttime. We actually explained it B'Pesach regarding the statutes of the mitzvah of Pesach, and therefore it refers to something totally different. Now, says Taisu, Masha in on a Menichah Noisim B'Lilah, then why actually don't we wear tefillin at nighttime? That's not because of this pasuk like the B'nai Marava learned it out. It's simply because at night time we're concerned that a person won't be able to keep his body clean, and he might flatulate, he might release pass wind, and that's problematic to do with the tefillin. That's why we take it off at night time. But the truth is, it's not because of b'shemarta sachukah. Now, moreover, says Taisus, therefore afila namtin lasalkan adalayla. Therefore, even if we would wait, and we wouldn't take it off at midday like our customers, we would take it off only at nighttime, still, therefore we wouldn't make the bracha like the B'nai Marava, because we don't have such a mitzvah of taking it off at nighttime, because we don't rule that it's prohibited to wear it at nighttime. It's only because of Shem Yafich, but not because of the pasuk of to make a bracha, of Lishmachuka. Now, says Taisus, but wait a second, there is a question over here, because Avagav Danan Kaimalam, but we do rule the Shabbos V'yamtiv Lazman Tefillin. Shabbos and Yamtiv is not a time of Tefillin, and then you have to take it off when it's coming time for Shabbos and Yamtiv. So then when you take it off before Shabbos and Yamtiv, then you should make the bracha when you take it off. Asher Ketzanim B'Tzvay Zibon Lishma Chukav. Says Tzvay Zinafilachi, even so, even then, not only at nighttime, but even then, Erev Shabbos, Leimah B'chin, you're not going to make the bracha. Why? Because the Davka that they do is specifically for them, for those in Eretz Yisrael, the Svilu, that they held that Chukah, that this whole pasuk of keeping God's statutes was Koyat Tefillin, that was going on Tefillin, like we explained, Sema V'chinan. So therefore, you're going to make a bracha of Lishma Chukah. But according to us, that we explained just before, the Chukah in the pasuk is not going on the Tefillin, it's going on the Chukah, so the Pesach. Now, this, that Shabbos is not a time of Tefillin, is not from that pasuk of Chukim. It's learned from a different pasuk of Ahil Chol Ha'is. It should be for you a sign, which excludes Shabbos and Yom Tov, where it itself is a sign. So therefore, it wouldn't apply the pasuk of making the bracha of Lishma Chukah. Now, Taisus proves, V'teidi, you should know, that what we're saying is true. Shari'in hu nami, because even the B'nai Marav themselves, L'hoi Mavarchin, they didn't make a bracha when they finished doing a mitzvah. Ela Tefillin L'chadayu. Only when they removed their Tefillin. Mishum d'chsiv b'hu chukah, because it's based on that pasuk of Lishma Chukah. But other mitzvahs, giving tzitzis, lulav, a sukkah, when they finished, when they took up their tzitzis, or when they stopped chuckling lulav, or when they came out of the sukkah, lahayim mevarchin, they wouldn't make a bracha when they were done, and therefore v'hadin lahachas. Therefore, same thing for us, that even though we're not going to wear it on Shabbos and Yom Tov, so when we stop doing it, it's not going to be because of you ending a mitzvah. It's specifically because of lishma chukav, and that's a mitzvah to say in the Torah that we don't learn that's going on tefillin at all, and therefore we don't make the bracha even on erev Shabbos and erev Yom Tov. Now, but based on what Taisa just said, Taisa is Vakasha, so then it seems to be difficult. Because if that's the case, then the Gemara could have answered. The question was, according to the Bnei Marava, what is the case of something that needs a bracha before and not a bracha afterwards? It can't be mitzvahs, because they make a bracha even when they're done with a mitzvah. So the Gemara had to say, oh, it's regarding, let's say, besam, regarding fragrant spices. Says the Gemara, why? It says, Taisa, the Gemara could have answered, lafuki shar mitzvahs. Comes excluded from other mitzvahs, a filib b'nei marav, even for those in the West, like tzitzis and lulav, even they agree, as we just explained, that you don't make a bracha when you're done, and therefore Taisa is bothered, why didn't the Gemara then answer that? That for other mitzvahs, that's when you're going to have the klal of the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, that you make a bracha lefanav and not la'achrav.